What's going on in our city today? Dublin City FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Good Morning Dublin on 103.2 Dublin City FM with Bernard Whelan and myself, Hugh Hick. If you want to text into the programme, our number is 087-977-1032. That's 087-977-1032. It's just coming up to 10:30 in the morning. Now, the National Off-Licence Association has called upon the Irish government to introduce a mandatory training programme for all retailers of alcohol. The responsible trading certificate already offered by NOFLA attempts to educate retailers of alcohol about underage purchasing, licensing laws and antisocial behaviour. Joining me now to discuss the merit of such a programme is Evelyn Jones, the chairperson of NOFLA, and Kevin O'Brien, owner of several carry-out off-licences and this year's winner of NOFLA's Responsible Retailer of the Year Award. Good morning to you both. Thanks for joining me today. Evelyn, I'll come to you first. Could you tell me a little bit about the background to the programme you yourselves run in this regard?
Yes, we have been running training for off-licence retailers since 1996. It used to obviously be a classroom scenario. But with the emergence of technology and also, unfortunately, the arrival of the recession, we realised it was becoming more and more difficult for alcohol retailers to really staff for training. So we came up with the notion of e-learning. So we developed an interactive e-learning module that we can deliver into any retailer throughout the country. Obviously, you know, we have members as far as Donegal, so it was very expensive for them to release staff, have them travel down to Dublin and get trained. So it was a cost-effective measure.
And what sort of, I suppose, what's the structure of the course? What are the focuses that you hope to instill upon the people who take the course?
Well, alcohol is an age-related product, so there's a number of issues surrounding its retail. It's highly regulated, and failure to adhere to the law has serious implications for the retailer. Coupled with that, then, you have societal issues, underage drinking, secondary purchasing, ID, drunkenness, and how the retailer can responsibly deal with those problems in an effective manner.
But in terms of some of those problems, is it not a case of you can only really learn how you deal with those through experience?
Well, the course is based on experiential and real-time experiences of the participants because it's an interactive e-learning module. So the people training are in contact with each other, and also the trainer themselves monitors their activity so they can share their experience, and that's one of the most positive outcomes of it.
Okay, Kevin, now I'll come to you because you yourself obviously work in the industry, own several off licenses. In your experience, in all your time in the industry, what are the biggest pitfalls and challenges that members of your staff would face?
I suppose the biggest challenges are related to age. It is sometimes very difficult to to actually see is a person over the age of 18 or under, particularly in today's climate where we have so many different ethnic origins. You'll find people of African origin have a tendency to look older than they are, and of Asian origin have a tendency to look younger than they actually are. So it becomes very difficult for a staff member to differentiate. So, you know, going through the programme that we've gone through, It gives them the staff confidence to ask for ID on a more continuous basis. You know, so I myself have asked people of 28 and 29 for ID in some occasions, but in actual fact they were of Asian origin. But it is hard to tell, and giving the confidence to staff members, because they, you know, it's a, sometimes to get things wrong can be embarrassing. But when you give them confidence, and that's what it's all about, is giving confidence that I know what I'm supposed to do, that I can do it and it's not a difficulty, and how to do it appropriately. And of course, if the person doesn't have ID, how to refuse that person in a confident and not insulting manner either. That's what is the key to it, in my opinion, is age. Then there's other issues, you know, people coming onto the premises who are, drunk, basically, and how you handle that. Again, you know, you don't want to be insulting or be abusive in any form. It's how you manage these things, and it's, again, relates to confidence, and that's what the RTC does. It actually gives staff confidence. It goes through the legislation. It gives you a better understanding. I mean, licensing law legislation goes back several hundred years, and if you were to understand it, you have to read so many different pieces of legislation. It's ridiculous. In actual fact, we're waiting for an update on the law to try and amalgamate it all. But so the understanding the key factors, which a huge amount of people in retail, and particularly maybe in the larger groups, don't necessarily understand. The law to the detail now that our staff understand it.
How does your course deal with that? What are you telling people in this regard?
Well, basically, the first aspect of it is their legal requirement. So, for example, it's an offence to serve somebody under the age of 18. The implications of that for the retailer is that they can be closed down and fined up to €3,000. They must put a sign on their door saying why they've been closed down. More importantly than that, then, you have the implications for their staff, because if a staff member sells to somebody who's under the age of 18, they also are open to prosecution and a fine. And that can obviously have a serious impact on their future, should they want to travel abroad, etc., etc. Then you have the societal impact, which is that obviously it is wrong for people to try and purchase alcohol under the age of 18. You must realise that somebody of the age of 18 is of the age of majority, and if they have a 17-year-old friend, they in many cases don't see anything wrong in purchasing alcohol for that person. And so you have that social impact of that. You also must monitor the area in front of your shop. There's a law which is called the 100-metre rule, whereas nobody's allowed to consume alcohol in that area. We're responsible for that. For example, as a pure off-licence holder, it's an offence for somebody under the age of 18 to actually come into my shop, unless they're accompanied by a parent or a guardian. For example, deliveries, it's an offence to deliver alcohol and take cash on the door. Often people don't realise it's also an offence for anyone under the age of 18 to actually be in a house and consume alcohol without the express consent of the parent or guardian.
Do you think, you mentioned an interesting phrase there, a pure off-licence.
Yes.
And obviously one of the big developments over the last, I suppose, say 10, 15 years, is this idea where off-licences are increasingly becoming amalgamated into these centres and spas. Do you think that in itself has led to problems in terms of staff being able to deal with the issues that you've raised? I mean, I suppose in a pure off-licence, you'd be more acute and aware of the dangers, whereas if you work in a centre, you're probably more discombobulated by the idea that someone would come in with get their loaf of bread, get a pack of crisps, and also a few beers. Do you think that's an issue?
It is an issue, because back in 2007, when we saw the way that licences were being deregulated and that it was possible for petrol stations, convenience stores and supermarkets to get licences, we recognised at that point that the lack of training in the retail of alcohol would have serious implications going down the line. And I think it would be fair to say that the image of alcohol currently is at an all-time low. And so if it's for that reason that everybody who retails alcohol should be required to train. It is no ordinary product. It is a mind-altering substance, and it has social consequences in its abuse.
Okay, well, as I mentioned in my introduction, Kevin, you won Knopfler's Responsible Retailer of the Year award. When you were deciding on awarding that particular award, what was it about Kevin's way of working in his off-licences that made him stand out?
Well, the great thing about what Kevin did with his shops is that he got all his staff trained in the responsible retailing. In addition to that, which was quite brave of him, what we do in order to qualify for that award is we have a spot check. So his shops were test purchased to ensure that he had the correct legislation and notifications up, that his staff asked for the correct ID. For example, for off licences, our only acceptable ID is a guard ID card, whereas in a pub, it's a passport or a driver's licence. So little specific tests were put in place, and his outlets did extremely well. And also, it was his own personal commitment to ensure that all his staff were trained. And that comes at a cost. He made an economic investment into the responsible retailing of alcohol in his business.
And what was the scale of that challenge in terms of implementing all these, safeguards, in terms of an economic and also just resources cost? Was that a challenge for you?
I suppose it's not really a challenge. It depends on how you address your business your attitude to business overall. Our view is we need to protect our business. As Evelyn mentioned earlier, if we inadvertently serve someone underage, well, potentially we are closed down. Now, that is a huge economic negative to us. One, you have to try and start rebuilding your reputation. You've lost the lost sales for the period that you're closed. Unfortunately, banks do not take that into account when, that you've been closed. It doesn't count, understandably. So we have to protect our business. So we view it as a positive investment, as is any form of training or staff training. It is generally a very positive investment. And it pays back many times over. We've in actual fact made it a condition of employment. We actually now train the staff. They want to join us, they have to be trained first and come with their certificate before we actually employ them. By starting off correctly from day one, each staff member supports each other then, because they don't come with bad habits or anything like that. This is the huge benefit of it. You can understand in any business, someone has one bad habit, it moves on to the next person and on to the next person, and your whole process gets diluted. But by doing the whole thing, it doesn't get diluted. You're starting fresh, everyone is doing it correctly, and on that basis it makes absolute commercial sense. And then in the community, it is a positive investment into the community. We trade in the community, we want to have a positive attitude towards us from the community, and the whole responsibility, trading responsibly within the community, is an important part to me. I feel it's important that our customers and our locals, whether they're customers or not, our neighbours, understand that we do not want to trade irresponsibly.
And obviously all this sounds very good and sounds almost in the realm of common sense. So with that in mind, why has it taken to this point and the government has not made this law? Like, why isn't there regulation in this regard in terms of mandatory?
It's hard to believe that there isn't mandatory training. You have to train to work on a building site or to drive a truck. We've approached the government since 1996. We've been at the government to make training mandatory. We've made representations to the Department of Health on a continuous basis. And while our training has always been received very positively, it was, for example, described as the Rolls Royce of training by the Department of Health, they have failed to make it mandatory. They have failed to put together a mechanism by which this industry can be regulated in that regard.
Have they ever, I suppose, given their commitment in principle to pursuing that in the future?
Well, no. They greatly admire the training, but as for putting together a accreditation body, which would be required, obviously, because there's obviously different types of training available throughout the Republic. Obviously, ours is the only e-learning one, but the different types of training would need to be assessed and ratified as to their quality in order for them to be acceptable to government to do this.
In terms of previous regulation that the government's put in terms of, particularly, I suppose, with regards to off-licences, the recent big one that comes to mind was no selling alcohol after 10 p.m. How effective, I'll ask this to you, Kevin, how effective do you think that has been in terms of curbing irresponsible drinking, or is that just, I suppose, a desperation move in the government by the government and completely in the wrong direction?
I don't think it has been of a benefit. I mean, other issues may have been more important, but that particular issue, I don't think, potentially it has a negative, because what people have done is on their weekly visits to the major multiple, they just pick up cases of beer. And once you have a case of something sitting in your home, you're more likely to drink it, or people are more likely to drink it. So it's actually had the reverse effect, in my opinion, personal opinion. Alcohol should be a conscious choice. I'd like to have a couple of beers tonight. Well then, in my opinion, you should go and purchase that couple of beers, bring them home and drink them this evening. But not this huge purchasing that has started to occur since this law has come to place, especially in areas where you have shift working. if you have people whose shifts finish at 10 o'clock, a lot of industrial shifts finish at 10 o'clock, those people now have no opportunity to relax with a couple of beers, unless they go to the pub, and that's fair enough. But what they are doing is they're picking up multiple cases in the supermarket when they're doing their weekly shop.
So given that in that instance you don't believe government regulation worked, is regulation then best kept to within the industry rather than relying on the government?
We wouldn't be in favour of self-regulation. Alcohol is not like other products. It needs to be regulated. It needs to be subject to stringent laws and breach of those laws to stringent enforcement. Voluntary codes have been shown not to have the correct impact. You cannot have an industry regulating itself. In particular, an industry that retails something that it has a serious social impact if abused.
All right, and just finally then, Evelyn, in terms of your own course, if people want to find out more information, perhaps want to just scan about, where can they find more information?
They'll find full information on the NOFLA website, www.nofla.ie, and or they can email info@rtc.ie. And in particular, for just to highlight that we have a grant aided scholarship system in place, so we do award a number of free places to our own members and also people who would be interested in training up to becoming involved in this industry.